Calarare Dios. Worship you, Jesus. Father, we magnify you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we magnify you. Glory. Lord, we worship you. There is no turning back. There is no turning back. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray that you will only intensify us. Father, we pray that you will only cause us to become more laser focused. Father, we pray that you, as you promised, that those that, Lord, that you were able to come, and those that would produce fruit, that you would purge them, that they would produce more fruit. Father, we pray that there will continue to be in us and among us an intensifying of what you've called us to do in our hearts, and a desire to go where you're at, to go to that place of intimacy and fellowship and purging and everything that you so desire of our life. We pray that there will be nothing that will stand between us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus against our own hurt, against our own suffering. Peter said those that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Lord, we pray against ourselves. This is against our own self. What could cause this? What causes such a prayer, Father? Just an absolute love for the Father. And the Lamb of God that we're praying to be exemplified in His image. Lord, purge us. Lord, intensify our vision. Intensify our desire. Lord, in Jesus' name, whatever we've given you, come and ask for more. But give grace, we pray. Give grace, we pray, for more to be given. Father, I pray that there will not be one single area of our lives that will not be examined, turned over, turned back over, looked at upside down, sideways, on top, underneath, that, Lord, that we're able to present ourselves before you, that you're able to come in these last days and flow through us to the hospitals, flow through us to the insane, flow through us, Lord, to our families, to our children, to our husbands and our wives, to those that are lost, Lord, that we're not presenting to the world a social gospel or a powerless gospel, but Father, we're presenting this gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness before all nations. Then shall the end come. Father, this gospel. You're searching for a people. You're asking for a people. So against my own hurt, and I pray they consent to the same. When I say hurt, Lord, I say for their benefit that you'd never hurt us in any way. But the struggle of coming in and laying down anything that you would ask, that's the kind of hurt. But you give grace. You give grace in abundance. So, Father, in these last days, find champions among us. Find champions among us that don't desire one moment of edification of their own self, one exaltation of their own self, but only desire to find a place where God exalts Christ in them and flows perfectly in harmony with heaven. This was the journey of the first begotten. This was His, and I follow in His footsteps. I ask for that suffering. I ask for that kind of pledge of allegiance to you, Lord. And I pray that it'll propagate itself among the brethren, the sisters, the children. I pray that, Lord God, There's no greater joy. There's no greater peace. There's no greater, Lord, being able to rest at night and wake up with joy than a process, a journey of laying down one's life, the cross before us, the world behind us. Father, give us this, we pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, we pray for those victims in Austin, Texas today. Those that have been shot in the night. Those that may be struggling for their life. And even for the family of this woman that died. And for the people in Seattle that were also part of a shooting. We pray that in Jesus' name to these places that you'll come in. You'll raise up a standard. And Father, we pray that you'll bring forth the voices, the emissaries of life, and that you'll bring forth the emissaries of peace and those that will speak the true life of God. Father, heal our nation through your people. We call on you consistently for a revival. It must be a revival that changes it.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray, help us not to get our eyes off of you. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not put it upon anything. Not upon politics, not on anything. That our vision is knowing this, that only Christ can change. Only Christ. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Father,
worship you, God. We love you, Jesus.
Jesus.
We open our hearts, God.
Worship you, Jesus.
You're more real than ground I'm standing on.
Jesus.
You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Abba, I belong to you,
Jesus.
Abba, I belong to you. Abba, closer than the skin on my bones.
Jesus.
You're closer than the song on my tongue.
Jesus.
Abba, I belong to you.
Thank you, God.
Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you.
Jesus.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality.
Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you for your presence. Your presence on this stage, your presence out there. Father, we thank you. Just very, very thankful, very thankful for the practicality of your healing and power and your virtue. Lord, as we've prayed over members of this congregation privately this week and experienced the power and prayer speaking over their lives and their bodies, Lord, teach us as ministers of the gospel, this gospel, train us of the how-tos to allow this virtue and presence to transfer itself over into the account of the physical. For the same God that we feel his presence in spirit will also transfer over into the natural, into the physical. So in Jesus' name, I speak the life of God and release the very miracle-working God in and through this congregation in Jesus' name. Those that are believing for abnormal things that have been there for a long time, for things that have taken up residency in the flesh. Lord, this is our food. This is our menu. This is what we eat. This is the children's bread, is to see miracles. Lord, this is all part. The reality of the God that we each feel in our spirit, in the presence, the denoting of that presence of peace, and the energizing of a want to know God. Lord, the same God that is in presence is the same God that transfers over into the physical. So in Jesus' name, I speak life. I speak an infusion of life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I release life. Let the very material presence, the very essence of the reality of a spiritual being, the Holy Ghost, in person of God, the very person of God, in Jesus' name. Now I command that crippled places and organs and diseased areas and places that have been injured and places that have undergone a debilitation In the name of Jesus, I command those places restored in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the name of Jesus, let that which is in presence go into the physical. That which is felt by the Spirit transcend itself into the physical. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the life of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the healing of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be raised up. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, see. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, pain, I command you to go. Command life into the hearts, the physical hearts, specifically into the physical hearts. In the name of Jesus, specifically into, Lord, let that person that is invisible, the spirit man, who is encased with life, the very life of God, let that power now begin to transcend itself past from the spirit into the physical. Those who do not have that golden man on the inside, Lord, it was your great delight throughout the Gospels to heal those from the outside. We that are living in Him are healed from the inside. The Holy Ghost coming on us is already in us, cooperating with His very own self. Let the power of God flow from out of that golden man in the name of Jesus. But those that are outside of Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name, because you love them, because you love them, and you will heal their bodies even before they pledge their allegiance to you. In Jesus' name, be made whole. Receive the life of God. Receive the very essence of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Nobody loved us like this. Nobody loved anyone to give them healing even before they would give an allegiance to them. Only you, Jesus. Only you. The healing virtue of God. Kidneys, I command you whole in the name of Jesus. I command you whole in the name of Jesus. Hearts, I command you. There is no such thing among us, no such thing among us as congestive heart failure weakening. I command all of the arteries strong, as Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim nor his natural strength abated.
Yes,
I command that in the name of Jesus, that the young and the old alike have the same internal organs filled with strength, filled with life, filled with the capacity to run this race to the end in full health in Jesus' name. Be raised up in the name of Jesus. No sickly among us. No sickly among us. No sickly among us in the name of Jesus. No weak among us. No suffering among us. None in pain among us in the name of Jesus. It is written. It is written. It is written. If this gospel is the same gospel, and it is, then the God that we feel in presence, the God that we feel in presence is the same God that transcends into the body in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. No arthritis among us. No crippling. No osteoporosis. No lupus. No cancer. No blood diseases. No headaches. No migraines. Lord, we pray that the hour is coming and now is that we scoff at these things. We scoff, not in an arrogance of the flesh, but an absolute dependence on God. Not that our heads would be hanging down and we would be rubbing our brow with migraines, but in Jesus' name that we run through a troop and leap over a wall and we challenge the devils of infirmity in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, take from our mouths, confessions that have allowed these things. Purge us, our mouth. Forgive our sins that we have allowed these things. And we've said, this is the way that I am, or this is the way that things have been, and I always get this, and this happens to me all the time. Lord, we only give permission for these things to remain. But let us have a great divorcement. Let us divorce ourselves from these things. Let us forsake these things. Let us walk. Lord, I pray that we'll have the pleasure of God far more than the pity of man. For many things are spoken so someone could know what we're suffering, so we could have their pity. I would rather have your healing than the pity of man. Put a watch on my mouth that I have not the pity of man, but I have the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. Put a watch on my mouth that I have not the pity of man, but I have the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to share it. I just want to lift it up before you and say, thank you, Lord, it's done. That's where we stand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. These things are coming. Watch and wait. Watch and wait. Watch and wait, saith the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. You guys and those guys, they brought it all up together. Y'all all were up here. Presence was here. Hallelujah. Give each other a great big hug. Yes, absolutely.
If I don't share this, I've just got to share it because it's been going on in my heart for about 3 weeks. And I've been putting it off and putting it off because I was thinking, is it just me that wants to do this? But I want to honor my husband this morning and say some things about him. I mean, if the president's wife can do it, why can't I? Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting there in the morning, it was in the evening, and we was watching some news, and it was about, they were talking about the different men that have fought for our country and those that have died, and my heart was going out, and Bronk made a statement that he said, man, I wished I would have enlisted. He said, I wished I could, you know. I said, well, you're not now. But I was like, I didn't think too much about it then. But when I woke up the next morning, I woke up, and as just about every morning, he's up 2 or 3 hours before me. He's out there in his recliner, and he's seeking the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, you know, your husband is enlisted. He is enlisted in my army. And he's battling for an eternal reward, for an eternal life for the people. And God is so thankful for all the men that have enlisted and fought. And he's also so thankful and so proud of the men that are fighting to bring God's word into this earth. And I just want to thank God that my husband, he's really, really true to what he does here. He's the same here as he is at home. And he seeks the Lord all through the day, and sometimes even through the night. But he's up early, and he's seeking God on your behalf. And he loves you, and he loves the people so much that he's given his life for it. And he has no other ambition. He doesn't have any hobbies. He doesn't do anything but just sit at the house and pray and seek God. Sometimes I feel sorry for him, but the Lord doesn't want me to. I'm like, God, sometimes I feel like he's become a hermit. He just sits there, just praying. But look at him. He looks good, doesn't he? But I just want to honor him and let you know that he is true to what he's doing. And this morning, all I could think of was that little kid's song that says, I may never march in the infantry, fight with the cavalry, or shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. And I thank God for my husband this morning. I just want you to know that I know you know this, but you don't know it like I know it, how really he has poured his heart into what he's doing here. And we'll never quit. We'll just keep on.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much, honey. I really appreciate that. Greet each other, please. Hallelujah. Glory. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 just for a little bit. I'm going to exhort you. I'm so sorry I can't get around to saying hi to everybody, but all of you are equally important, and we appreciate every single one of you being here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Natalie's dad is with us. He's probably in the restroom, but David, we appreciate him being here with us. He's visiting again. I hope he's getting Alex all straightened out. He sure needs it. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you to Candy. That was beautiful, and I certainly didn't expect it. But appreciate that so much. Just want to exhort you for just a few moments, because we definitely need to get in to the Word this morning. We got a lot to cover. But Jesus is, of course, speaking here, and this is Matthew 6, 7, and 5, 6, and 7. Primarily talking about here in 6. Obviously with no chapter divisions, primarily talking about the kingdom of God and referencing to the kingdom of God and what it takes to have a kingdom of God mentality. And he says, I'm just going to pick up in verse 19. I could go forward and backwards and never catch all of this. But 19, you know, he's talking about our disposition towards money, towards prosperity, and how that we're supposed to believe God in relationship to living inside the kingdom. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, for where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now we're going to cover this scripture later. As I said, I made an announcement Wednesday night this Sunday night, by the way, is young adults. Please come. Homer and the Holy Ghost just always do an excellent, excellent job teaching and times laying hands on people, and it's just very, very powerful, and you'll want to be a part of that. But a week from this Sunday night, we're going to start. It's going to be very simple. There are more people in here that are qualified in knowledge than myself, but this is an acclimation of the Holy Spirit. We're going to teach you about 3 weeks on economics, just spiritual and natural economics. Go cover everything from credit cards to co-signing and how to build your credit and what things to do, not to do, investments. I'm excited. I'm really excited. There's some good things that very, very simply that I can share with you. This particular verse of scripture here, he's not talking about having any forethought of putting up anything or having anything, but it's all predicated on dissolving an anxiousness or a want-to that's always thinking about how much do I get out of it, and which really breeds or brings into effect an anxiousness in your life. It's not talking about wisdom that would lay up and that would have in store or even leave something good for your family. So we will teach all that later. But where your treasure is, verse 21, in other words, what you're really looking at is where your heart will be also. Now, this is interesting verse, and he also uses this same teaching in Luke in a different setting, but we use this, and we'll refer back to it this morning when we're talking about another subject matter. But Jesus said this, the light of the body is the eye. Okay, it's the light. In other words, the eye gate is the mechanism which allows light into the body. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that it be in thee, the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, Jesus says something here that can sound like a very contradictory statement. He said concerning the eye, if the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. If the eye be evil, now that word evil can also translate, if you look it up in the original, it can mean diseased or having malignity, something that is there that is keeping it from having a full vision. It doesn't necessarily be, but what it's saying here is your perspective. That which allows perspective in all things in life, he's saying just like the eye to the body allows vision, the light comes in, the brain, the eye does everything, the brain interprets it, and you see a picture in front of you. The brain is seeing a picture because of the light that is coming into the eye. So the eye is the gate. It's the gate of vision, obviously. It's what causes the brain to say, I see what's in front of me. But he's saying here that he's using that as an analogy to say, if your physical eye is diseased, then you have a hard time seeing. In the same way, what he says, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That sounds really kind of, in a certain sense, contradictory. How can light be darkness? But what he's saying here is if your perspectives, now we talked last week, and again we'll talk about this morning, the intervention or what bad teachers can have to do with the eye gate of the spirit, the bad perspectives, how that they have a part, a major part in doing that. But this is relative to whether it's your own perceived knowledge, the way that your mom and daddy brought you up, or the way that you've raised yourself. It's just simply talking about if your perspective that you perceive to be light is darkness. In other words, if what you hold to as relevance of truth, and this is the right way to think, and yet it's not, then it's a sabotage. Because what it sabotages is this, you'll just be real biased towards that, and that's the way you'll see things. And so that light will be, even though it's darkness, will be light to you. It may not be light, but it's light to you. And if it's light to you, even though it's darkness, you'll swear to it as being light. You'll swear to, no, this is light. This is the way I should think. And that goes into, especially as we're interpreting it in doctrinal issues, it's vital. It's very vital. And in another place, Jesus talks about it, not quite in this setting. But really, particularly in this setting, he is talking about money and how you view those kinds of things. And he's trying to change the order of the way people think so that the light that is in them is not darkness. He says, no man can serve two masters, verse 24. He'll either hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon, prosperity to your own making. Therefore I say unto you, take no so here he's going to change, he's going to heal the eye, he's going to heal the perspective. Perspectives can be in a lot of different ways. What you think and how you feel. But whoever and whatever and however we think, always the words of Jesus puts the light in, and it's true light. Can you say amen? It's not light tainted with darkness, it's true light. God, this changes the perspective of people in the church, out of the church, if they know this to be truth, if this is the light that they perceive. He basically is teaching a lot here. He's teaching everything from your world shouldn't revolve around you. You know, you shouldn't be amassing things just for yourself. But he's also teaching Jesus and his word if you know his word, you understand this. God is not a socialist. He's absolutely not a socialist. In other words, God says this in other scriptures. He says, if a man doesn't eat, he shouldn't. I mean, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. He shouldn't eat. He says, God's not a socialist. In other words, God's not into entitlements. He doesn't believe just because you're a human being, you're entitled to get what everybody else gets, even though you don't do your part. He's not that way. Well, if you're physically enabled, well, we're going to teach this the next few Wednesday nights. I need to. What's physically enabled? There's a man in the book of Proverbs. He says he turns on his bed like a hen, just. Or he says, there's a lion in the street. Well, I can't work. Why? Because I haven't found a job. Well, are you putting in like 16 resumes a day, pounding the street? Have you burnt, you know, how many gallons of gas have you spent this week? How many internets, how many websites have you went on? Well, I was going to go get in the car, and it's predicted that it's supposed to rain today. Well, what does rain have to do? Well, I could catch pneumonia, and then I wouldn't. That's what the man with the lion in the street, he says, there's a lion. I've heard that there's a lion out there that might eat us if we go out today. So that's the description of a slothful person. There's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. I can't find a job. Why? Didn't I say that was Wednesday night? I mean, Sunday night's teaching? Come on, you guys help me. Say, no, we don't. Okay. God's not a socialist. Okay, so all these perspectives come in and they push out darkness and they cause you to see what true light is. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat or what shall you drink? Take no, and it does literally, I mean, I checked up on this again. I knew it, but I checked up on it again. It does say, take no anxious thought. There's two words, there's at least two words in the Greek for thought. One is just thinking. This is not just thinking. This is actually intended on getting down to worry. Take no worry for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So everybody say amen. We are better. Hallelujah. Which of you by taking this, here's this anxious thought, can add to his cubit one stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They toil not, nor do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Hallelujah. How many know he'll take care of us? Amen. Was this predicated on how much you gave? Was it predicated on when you gave? No, he's just, that's daddy. That's daddy. So everything that we're doing is just because we love him. And we want to see people saved. We just want to see people saved. Wherefore, take no thought, saying, and that prayer, I didn't expect to pray that a while ago, clean up our mouths. But what, this is what saying this. What shall we eat? How much, how are we going to get anything to drink? How are we going to be clothed? For after all these things, clothed, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But, here's the one of the biggest buts in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we just give today because daddy, he's daddy? And then we can just turn it over to him. He's gonna pay it. He's gonna make it. We're gonna make it. Hallelujah. We're going to have more than enough. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your great goodness. We ask you to bless in this time of giving. We pray that you'll solidify our hearts and capture our hearts in the beauty of being able to express it in this place of worship. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me once again. Hallelujah. Marty, if you'll please put on the only song I know presently. And the rest of you can bring this down. Wow, see how quick he was? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. Praise your name. Bless now your word. Take us to the next level. Prepare us. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just love that song so much. We could have never guessed it, right, Pastor? Why? Because it tells a story. He's coming back. And he's gonna fix all this foolishness. He really is. There's going to be no parties, no voting. Man, I said Wednesday night he's coming back with an innumerable, the word says, amount of angels. Innumerable means that can't be counted. Can you imagine somebody saying, well, I don't think I want you ruling over me. It's not going to happen. There's however many, first of all, if God wills it, there's nothing that you can do about it. I mean, this is a pitiful illustration, but the fact of the matter is that when he, on that day, divides the sheep from the goats, and he says to the goats, enter into everlasting punishment, there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it. They'll just physically, it's just like God's everywhere and his power's everywhere, and there's no resisting it. It's like they won't want to go into the lake of fire, but just in the next thought, they'll be there. If he says it, it just happens. That's how powerful he is. That's just one thing. I mean, he comes back and there won't be no Democrats. There won't be no Republicans. There won't be no ISIS. There won't be anything. It's just for that 1,000 years. And besides for that, an innumerable amount of angels will be doing his bidding. Can you imagine telling a 10-foot angel, I don't think I'm going to do that. We're gonna have a rally outside. One of those guys, just one of them, just one, in the Old Testament, at night, killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Now that was just one. He sent one angel. An innumerable amount of angels probably could do a pretty good damage on the earth. They probably could. So we're going to protest. Okay. See, I vote Jesus. He's got my vote. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So we want to shout out to some people. Amarachi, is that correct? I wanted to make sure I have your name right, honey. She's living in Canada. She's been writing and supporting us now for a while, and we got some people that actually met her, right? Fantastic. Praise the Lord. We said hi to Sierra Wednesday night, and that's Natalie's friend. And Natalie wasn't here Wednesday night, Sierra, so you were, but... Did I say that? I didn't say that. No, her husband was getting back from Haiti, and we're glad to have her dad here, David, with us today. So, fantastic. So, wherever you're at in the world, just give us a shout-out and send us an email and say hi. Amen. Turn with me once again this morning. We're just going to recap some stuff that we've been saying, and last week we were in 2 Peter chapter 2. I appreciate all of you being with us. And these messages and listening on YouTube and people that are listening on the website. And praise the Lord. And all of you that are here supporting. When you pull with me, it really helps. And